They're teachers, chefs, nurses, storytellers. In short, good mothers are gentle, nurturing, devoted to the well-being of their children. The fact is, if you're a Christian, you need to cultivate those traits, even if you're a man. See why next on Grace to You. It's been said that an ounce of mother is often worth more than a ton of clergy. Well, certainly, no one will spend more time with the next generation and influence it more than mothers. So, how can moms make sure that they're leading their children spiritually? And what might men learn about spiritual leadership from women? Find out today on Grace to You as John MacArthur helps you see how men, believe it or not, have a motherly role to play. It's a message called Parental Pictures of Spiritual Leadership, and a part of John's current study called Leading the Charge. So, whether you're a father teaching your boys how to be men, a mother keeping up with a couple of toddlers, teaching them through your home, or even a manager in charge of dozens of employees on the job, you'll appreciate the leadership principles that John helps you apply today. And now, here's John MacArthur with the lesson.
1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 12. We've entitled this section, Parental Pictures of a Spiritual Leader. It is essential to the well-being of children that there be a mother. It is also God's perfect plan and design that there be a father. And there is in that the perfect balance of gentle, nurturing care and loving example and authority. Mothering and fathering is God's design for the raising of children. And I believe when God created the church, He created the church very much like a family. And the church is not to be taken care of by surrogate mothers and fathers. Those in spiritual leadership are not to view the church with the indifference and with the independence that surrogate caretakers view little children in a daycare center. They are not to deal with those in the church as if they were groups, but they are to love them as individuals. They are not only to herd them around, but they are to love them and nurture them personally. They are not just to command them, but also to disciple them. The church is to be a family. And just like a family has to have a mother and a father to have the perfect balance of leadership, so spiritual leaders in the church must mother and father the church. That is precisely what is on the heart of the Apostle Paul in our passage. In verse 7, he says to the Thessalonians, "We were among you as a nursing mother." In verse 11, he says, "We were imploring each one of you as a father." We treated you like a mother treats her children. We treated you like a father treats his children. And he gives us then the parental pictures of spiritual leadership. Let me reduce it to a very simple concept. A mother illustrates gentle care, and a father illustrates strong authority. And that is the balance of spiritual leadership. The tenderness and the gentleness of the motherly care, the strength and the fortitude and the courage and the leadership of fatherly care. That is the balance to spiritual leadership. And that balance has to be there for us to be what God wants us to be as spiritual leaders. Let's look first of all at the spiritual leader as a mother, verses 7 through 9. Verse 7 begins with a very important word, but. But. It's been used already three times in this brief chapter. It's a series of not this, but this, not this, but this, not this, but this. So it's used as what we call an adversative. It flips it over. Not this, but on the other hand, this. What is he saying? Far from being a greedy, licentious, sexually motivated, self-styled, flatterer, given over to self-aggrandizement, power, control, manipulation, and abuse, Rather than that, verse 7, we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Far cry from that, he's saying. We didn't come to you as the typical charlatan and fraud. We didn't even come to you as a hired part-time daycare child watcher. We proved to be, literally, we became gentle among you. That's a marvelous word. Among you is in the midst of you, and it talks about the fact that he was really involved with his people. We were in the midst of you gentle. Gentle is a beautiful word, hepias, used here and in 2 Timothy 2:24 only in the New Testament. It simply means to be kind to someone. To be kind to someone. And Paul says, as we moved among you, we were kind to you. We didn't come to abuse you. We didn't come to take from you. We didn't come to exploit you. We didn't come to manipulate you. We moved among you with kindness. This is the spiritual leader caring for his people, being concerned about their well-being, sensitive to their personal needs. It implies acceptance of all of them. It implies respect. It implies compassion. It implies tolerance of imperfections. It implies patience. It implies tender-heartedness. It implies loyalty. We weren't abusive to you. We weren't domineering over you. We were gentle. We were kind to you. How gentle? I love the metaphor he selects. We proved to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. The term here definitely refers to a nursing mother because of the phrase her own children. This is no surrogate here. This is no daycare worker. He says, we were to you as a nursing mother tenderly caring for her own children. And the metaphor is marvelous. Absolutely marvelous. He picks out of all the human realm the most intimate, tender, cherishing human relationship. There is none to match it. There is no human relationship that is as tender, gentle as the nursing mother and the infant child. The tenderest relationship in all of human life. And it illustrates the personal care that he gave to the church. There's no authority in that metaphor. The mother doesn't hold the little one in her breast with any authority. There's no dominance there. There's no prominence on her part. There's no seeking of honor. There is only the simple giving of life, that's all. It's a spending of oneself for the child. It is the love that spares nothing. The nursing mother. The verb tenderly cares literally means to warm with body heat. Sometimes translated cherish. To warm with body heat. How graphic. As the mother takes the little one in her arms and warms the little life with her own body heat and passes on her life to that life. The intimacy of that, the beauty of that, the tenderness of that has no equal. So Paul says, in spite of the legitimate claim to apostolic authority, we used another approach. And his authority was balanced with tenderness. From the opening picture here, in verse 7, then Paul proceeds into verses 8 and 9, where he unfolds the role of mother in the beauty of its metaphorical meaning. I hope you can grasp this. Verse 8 says this, having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. And now we're going deeper into this metaphor. The word thus or so is the connector. So or thus means as a nursing mother, And thus he extends the metaphor into verse 8. Having a fond affection for you. Certainly this is true of a nursing mother. That's very natural. That's God-given. And that's what motivates her nursing, her gentle care. And as every mother knows, there's no kudos for this. There are no laurels. There's no awards for mothering. All you get is crying babies, dirty diapers, sleepless nights, runny noses, illnesses. It's hard. It's consistent. Endless watchful care. I talk to grandparents now that I'm one. And they always say, oh, we love our grandchildren so much. And often they'll say, and the best part is, they leave with their parents. Or when it becomes fussy time, we hand them over. Well, that's simply a reflection of the hard part of parenting. And it's also a reflection of the fact that as much as we love our grandchildren, there is a bonding that occurs with our own children that makes that less than duty, that makes it supreme joy. And even though we love our grandchildren, they're one step removed from that intimate bonding. A mother does what she does because she has a fond affection. You know that word, a fond affection? That verb is a very interesting verb. It means to long for someone. It means to long for someone. In fact, we find it on some grave inscriptions where it describes a parent's sad longing for a dead baby, a child gone from their life. It indicates a deep affection that winds up as a passionate longing. It's even painful. I remember when our children were being nursed, all four of ours when they were little, it would be silent in the middle of the night, and perhaps for whatever reason I might have been awake. Perfect silence. Patricia would get up and I would say, where are you going? She'd say, well, I'm going to go nurse the baby. And I would say, the baby's asleep. I know, but I want to go nurse the baby. Feel free. And I never really fully understood why, till I began to realize that for her, the fond affection, the longing that she had, precluded the love of sleep. And it was in her heart to give herself to her children. And even hours apart from the little life took something away from what she desired. That longing is what makes that mother want that little life in her arms. That's the way God designed it. And Paul is saying that's a picture of a spiritual leader's responsibility to have a longing for a tender relationship with his people. A yearning, a motherly compulsion. That should be in the heart of the spiritual leader. And Paul says it was, verse 8. So we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives. When we came to you, it wasn't just duty. It wasn't just delegated authority. It wasn't just responsibility. It was passion. We had a fond affection for you, so we were well pleased. That term, well pleased, means we were eager. We were zealous. And it was generated by our affection. You're not a burden. You're a joy. In fact, in verse 20 of this chapter, he says, you are our glory and joy. And so he says, we were pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God. Stop at that point. First, he imparted the gospel of God. The word impart is beautiful. It means to share. And the verb carries the idea of giving someone something of which you retain a part. And that's exactly what happens when you give someone the gospel, right? You give them the gospel, but even though you've given it to them, you still possess it, right? And so you share. That's why we say we share our faith. That's this word. We give it away and yet we keep it. And so there's a bond there. So Paul is saying, look, we had a fond affection for you. And consequently, we were well pleased to share with you the gospel of God. But it's more than that. He says, we were pleased to give you that, but not only that, but also our own lives. Our own psuche, our own soul, that means the totality of our earthly existence. I literally give up my life for you. That's what he's saying. And that's what a mother does. A mother who is faithful to being what a mother ought to be. She sets aside her life for the life of her beloved baby. She is sacrificial. She is utterly unselfish. She is generous. She is profuse with that life. That life dominates her life. You can't have a baby and go on living your own life and fulfill God's intention for a mother. That baby consumes your life. You're there to feed it. You're there to love it, to change it, to put it to sleep, to wake it up, to dress it, to care for its every need. That's what God intended. There are many women, they don't want to have a baby because they're afraid it might affect their figure. They're afraid it might affect their lifestyle. They're afraid it might affect their career. You want to know something? It'll affect all of that. You'll give away your life for that little life. But God said a woman finds her place in this world if God is so gracious to grant her that privilege in bearing children and raising them to love the Lord. Gladly then does a woman give her life for her child. And so Paul says, like a mother, we were so well pleased to give you not only the truth we gave you, but to give you our lives. Our lives. Not only were we like a nursing mother pulling you to our breast and dispensing you the life-saving milk of the word, but we also would give you our lives. Time, energy, everything. Why? It was so sad when he wrote back to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 12, 14, and 15, and he says to the Corinthians, he says, I love you so much, and I'll love you even if you don't love me in return. And then he says to them, if I love you more, does that mean you're going to love me less? What a heartbreak it is for a mother who has loved a child, and the child grows up to be what Proverbs called a thankless child, who is sharper than a serpent's tooth. When a sacrificial mother has so loved a child who grows not to love in return, that is the deepest pain a mother's heart will ever know. And Paul felt some of that pain himself as a spiritual leader, and so does any spiritual leader. It was love spent in unselfish sacrifice. He gave his life. He even said on one occasion, if I be offered on the sacrifice of your faith, I rejoice. If I die getting you the gospel, that's fine. That's fine. Far cry from the attitude today. We say we ought to abort a baby if it means the life of the mother. The godly mother says, I would give my life for the birth of my child. But see, we've reversed all those kinds of values. Why? Why does a mother do this? The end of verse 8. Same reason a spiritual leader does it. Because you had become very dear to us. Very dear. Beloved is the word. That's the essence of a mother's love. A strong, compelling sense of the preciousness of the child. You were dear to us. You were of value. You were worthy. You were priceless to me. No way could I shuffle you off. No way could I treat you with indifference. There is a strong affection. There is a longing that fills my heart for you, not out of duty, but because you were dear to me. That has to mark spiritual leaders. The metaphor extends then into verse 9. Still, the word for carries us through into transition, leading us out of the analogy of verses 7 and 8 into the application here in verse 9. For, you recall, brethren, and here's another mother metaphor, our labor and hardship, how working night and day so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. There's a mother working, laboring, night and day, providing for her children so that she is no burden for them. You recall, don't you, brother? And he says, you recall, you remember, don't you, how it was when we were there with you? You know what our heart attitude was. Listen, If anybody tells you that we came to take and not to give, why don't you just recall? Why don't you just think back and remember? Were we aiming at wealth? Were we aiming at power? Were we aiming at prestige, popularity, possessions? Were we aiming for sexual favors? If we were, we didn't take any. As he says in 2 Corinthians 6:10, we were poor, making many rich spiritually. Our lives were marked by poverty, disrespect, disrepute, trouble, persecution. We weren't takers, we were givers. You recall, don't you? Don't you recall our labor? Don't you recall our hardship? Those two words sum up the whole of difficulty. The first word emphasizes the difficulty of the deed itself. The second word emphasizes the toil and the struggle and the effort in the doing of the deed. But both of them come together to say, don't you remember what a difficult thing it was, what a trial it was when we were among you? You go back to Acts 16 and reread it, how it was when he came to Thessalonica, how difficult it was. It was always sacrifice for Paul. It was always sacrifice for Silas and Timothy. It was always a life-giving kind of ministry. They didn't covet any man's silver, any man's gold. They rather sacrificed everything they had in this world for the sake of taking the gospel to other people. That's the mother's picture. What does a mother want? What can a child give a mother? Absolutely nothing. What price can a child pay for a nursing mother? What price can a child pay for deep affection? What price can a child pay for the longing of a mother's heart that lifts it up and embraces it in love? There's no price. The child has nothing to give and nothing can be given. Paul says, we just gave. Don't you remember that? And how working night and day, so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. We were working night and day, he says. And he worked night and day because he didn't want to be a burden to anybody. That's a mother. That's why it's so very hard sometimes when a woman has been a godly mother and she gets to the point in her older years where she can't support herself. She finds it very difficult to be supported by her children. She finds it very hard to accept that. Because she has always known that she was fitting the role of never being a burden, but always lifting the burden of her children. But it is by God's design that her children in gratitude be able to meet her need if that comes. So Paul said, we made the maximum effort to feed our spiritual children. We provided the tenderness, the intimacy, the nourishment, the care, so that you wouldn't have to carry the load and we carried it all. That's a mother. And that's how we proclaimed to you the gospel of God, God's gospel. The source is God, the subject is God. The great truth of salvation with all of its implications, we proclaimed it to you without ever being a burden. And on our own part, we labored hard night and day to keep you receiving the nourishing truth. Hey, it takes long hours to be a mother. It takes great sacrifice to be a mother. It changes your whole life. Paul says that's how it is in spiritual leadership. Around-the-clock care is the picture of a mother, and that is part of effective spiritual leadership.
You've been listening to John MacArthur here on Grace to You. He's president of the Master's College and Seminary. The title of his current series on spiritual leadership, Leading the Charge. John, you made the point today that spiritual leaders are to be unselfish. The idea of unselfish leadership in mind, I know that you have a few words for some folks listening right now who've modeled that kind of leadership in a remarkable way.
Yeah, it's such an important point, Carl. Unselfish leadership is leadership that is sacrificial for the sake of those who are being served. We all know what selfish leadership looks like, where somebody at the top of the pile uses people, abuses people, manipulates people for his or her own ends, for self-elevation, self-aggrandizement. That's a horrible kind of thing. We understand that leadership, the way it should be, is basically identified by Jesus when he said he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. And, you know, we're so grateful in this ministry that there are folks like you, men and women, who listen and support Grace to You. You are dynamic in the impact that you make on this ministry. You are a part of leading. You are a part of leading by serving. You lead this ministry around the globe. You provide our financial needs so that we can bring the life-changing Word of God to the United States and all across the world. And we use the resources that you provide for us to reach into more communities and more languages and ultimately into tens of thousands of more homes. And so on behalf of all of us, I want to thank you for the kind of unselfish leadership you exercise when you make a decision to help us bring God's precious transformative truth to people everywhere.
Thanks, John. And friend, if you'd like to help us take verse-by-verse teaching into more communities and more languages, and in the process, help bring God's truth to spiritually hungry souls across the globe, let me encourage you to express your support as you contact us today. You can mail your donation to Grace to You, Post Office Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. Or call the toll-free number, 1-800-55-GRACE. If clear Bible teaching is hard to find in your hometown, one way that you can help reverse the trend and offer other people in your area an alternative is through your support of Grace to You. If you're within the sound of my voice, it's because people like you have supported us financially. Again, to express your support, mail your tax-deductible gift to Post Office Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. Or call 1-800-55-GRACE. Now keep in mind, there are a wide range of Bible study tools available free of charge at the Grace to You website, gty.org. You can download any of John's sermons, 3,400 total in the MP3 or transcript format. Or you can also read the Grace to You blog. It's there that John and the staff help Christians apply God's Word. You can also read daily devotionals online or watch streaming video of Grace to You television. All that and much more free at gty.org. And now, for John MacArthur, I'm your host, Carl Miller, asking you to tune in again tomorrow as John continues unleashing God's truth one verse at a time on Grace to You. Okay, you've seen that spiritual leadership has a motherly aspect. What does the father's side look like? And is one more important than the other? Questions to consider on tomorrow's Grace to You.